And I can say to you,
the Bible says so.
And I can be very sincere and sincerely wrong. But I don't know it. I twisted. You shall not die. The serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, know good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and so desirable. When am I tempted? Why? Because of your own sinful desires. Now this fruit, because how did she hear? What did she hear? What did she make of how she listened to the law? If I put the law, how God has spoken. Now the suggestion, the lie come, the deception come, and she convinces herself, I can eat of it. And your mind play with you and say, I can justify myself why I do this. I need it. I have a right to do that. And I deceive myself. God will understand. It's just there where you and I have been deceived. Right there. I can take Isaiah 49 as an example. And Isaiah 49 has a lot to say. And I love also that chapter because many times I preach out of it to tell you about your purpose, why God has created you. And it also say that about tattoos that you won't find it in my Bible, but in some of the translations you're going to have it. Where God said, I have engraved you in my hand palms. But how do I read this? Do I read it to understand what God is saying? Am I a lover of the truth to know, Lord? I don't just want that verse per se to say, you engrave. What does it mean? The Enoch sit on that chariot on his way to Ethiopia and he read Isaiah 53. He don't understand it and God have to send one of his disciples to him to interpret it for him, Isaiah 53, and explain to him and what was it? Was it Philip? And he said, do you understand? He said, how can I if someone don't come and interpret it for me, to come and do exegesis to me, to explain it to me. I want to understand, is this man talking about himself or do I talk about someone else? Well, he talk about Jesus and he explained through the scriptures. You see, to take that verse out of his context, you have then only a translation and religion because you deceive yourself and say, well, if this say that Jesus has tattooed me there. Well, then I'm going to tattoo the name Jesus on my arm. And I'm being deceived because how do I read the scripture? Do I read it to justify my sin? I'm tempted to do that. So I'm going to find a verse just to be safe. And then I find it. Voila, let's do it. Then I said, you are deceived. Because why? You didn't go and take that within its context. What is Isaiah, the whole book, talk about? Not just one chapter. And then you find yourself before the cross. So how does a tattoo and the cross come together? Now you have to twist the Bible and your mind and your common sense to justify what you want to do. Because you think we stand on a verse out of its context. And I let the Bible say what he did not say. I let him say what I want him to say. And many times we find such petty, sorry if I say petty verses, those lacquer verses that I don't go in its context and go and take time to study it so that I understand it. I don't even take the time to go and study where the tattoo come from. It's too much work. And then the lie, everybody do it. Many Christians do it, man. You can go on the internet and you will find 110,000 of them that is for it and 110 double that is against that. But we go for those who are with it. And we might find some famous pastors who also promote those stuff. So I will run after them. Because the majority is right, isn't it? The Bible said, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. But we follow them. You see, there's something like Galatians say, there is a peace that is not from God. But you know, I have the peace of God in me to do this. Really, there's a peace that is not from God. Like this one man, he said to me, and I don't, please hear me out, I do not condemn them. As we talk, he already have a lot in, on his whole body. And as we talk about it, he come to the conclusion and he said, or not the conclusion, he come and said to me, listen, I ask God to send someone over my pathway. If I must not do it, that he must send somebody to stop me doing it. And he didn't. Nobody come. The day that I want to go, nobody come. And I said, but he already did. Where? In his word. He already sent forth his word. There's a rich man right now in hell that burns and feel the heat of that. Who wants Abraham, and he saw Abraham in the Lazarus on the bosom of Abraham. And he asked, please, one drop water. It won't help, but please. At least, you know. And please send Lazarus to my brothers up there. Warn them. Don't deceive. Don't be deceived. You are all deceived. Abraham said, they can't go from here to there. Here where they are tied up here. They can't. Please send someone. Even if Lazarus have to stand before them, raised from this dead, standing before them, they will not believe him. He said, they have Moses and the laws and the prophets. If they don't listen to this, they will not listen to someone that has been raised from the dead. The thing that's going to judge us one day before God is his word. How we twist it to fit our little petty sins. To ease our conscience. How do we hear? How do we read? How do we listen? Just what we want. I'm tempted, so I don't want to run away. Now I'm going to say, but I understand it like this. And I understand it like that. The Bible said that interpretation is not a thing of man. This is not written by, simple men. Empowered, endowed by the Spirit of God. Inspired by Him. It's not someone who suck it out of their thumb and write it down there just to scare the wits out of us. It has been given for us to, that we can know to protect ourselves, protect God from us. And also how to approach a holy God. This is who He is, and this is the way to approach Him. This is how we can come in a living relationship with Him. How do you read? How do you hear? Because in our minds, there is the picture being painted. And the Bible talks a lot about the battle of the mind. Listen to this. He say in verse 14 of James 1, but each one is tempted when his own, by his own desires, he is dragged away and enticed. Dragged means there's a force like a magnet will draw you after it. Once you harbor it here, and you're going to see how far you're going to go with it. It's nothing, you know, we talk many times in my counseling room with them about temptation. You know, if I walk, let's say you see me coming and shooter, he liked that man. When he saw me coming, he stand here by the, you know, by the toilet and will stand behind the door, and you know, hear my footstep, here, and then suddenly, wah! And then, you know, I have a skirt, you know, and then he, you know, shooter, come on, eh? I miss him. But let's say, for instance, I walk like you, and you are shooting, and you stand behind that door, a man, and you scrap me, and I smack you. One thing is, I know you're not going to do it again. But, you know, as I reflect, I didn't plan to do that. But here's the thing. You can be tempted. I'm going to do it. And many times I want to tempt somebody, and then I say no, because I think of the consequences. What if that guy swear? What if I come around the corner, and I say, wah, and he get a heart attack? You know, if you go out and somebody do that to you, you know, I didn't plan it. But if I do plan it, guys, you see, entice mean to open a door. And once the door is opened, that you and I can sit together and we can have a plan. And I tell you, and I mention your name, and I said that you saw that, or did you hear that? The suggestion that I come to you and I said to you, now this, I want to know more. What? Tell me more. That's all. And then you walk away. It's not even the truth.
How are you going to look at him? If I say to you, in a suggestive form, for the ladies, the same thing that I said here, how will you look at him now? How will you respond? And I trigger it. And the door getting open and will be dragged. That powerful force of it will drag, because now you're going to harbor it. If we say temptation, if a bird fly over your head, no problem. That is how temptation is. But if you leave that bird and it come and make a nest here, that's a different story. But if a bird come and fly over, no problem. That is how a temptation is. I walk around that corner and I maybe saw something that I was not supposed to see, but I didn't plan it. I didn't. And it happens to me a few times in my lifetime. When you come in one of the shops and you do your shopping and something happened there. Oh, sorry, man. What happens here? You see, and I think both genders know this, the power of suggestion. They know that if I make my eyes so for you, you know, you're going to make, either I make your knees weak or you make mine weak. And many times when one is something of a womanizer here, that you saw that lady, I want you to listen very careful. I was also there. Why are you looking? If you have a problem with women, it's going to come out. And you're going to talk about them to one another. The same with you ladies, the same with them. They will talk about men, how cute they are. You know, one thing I don't like is these Rambo t-shirts, you know? How do you see? How do you hear? What goes on here? What goes on? You see, your mind gonna tell you, you need it. Your mind gonna tell you, you deserve it. And your mind is gonna tell you, no one will know. And that's the lie of it. Because there's always three things that come out. The sun, the moon, and the truth. It will always come out. You can hide it. It will come out. How can we deceive ourselves? My time is nearly up. If I can give an example. 2018, 2019, I'm not sure about the date. They come a couple here. Oh, they apparently from another religion, they come to Christianity, and they end up here with us, and shame, and their father was apparently abused them and beat them up because they turned from that religion to Christianity. And it's a whole sad story. And his wife is pregnant with twins and so forth. And she already lost one child because of the abuse that their father beat him so up. And when the wife wants to help and try to prevent the father, she fell on the ground and the father kicked her as well. That's why she have one baby, it died. Shame and terrible, man. It's terrible. I'm telling you. I said, what? Yeah, in South Africa. Wow. You know, they're so violent, and I know that they can get very violent, but shucks, here on our doorstep, and shame, I feel, and I've interviewed a couple, and the guy who brought them sitting there, and shame, and my heart goes out for them, and maybe my own stupidity, or whatever, so we let them stay, but things don't add up. Cut a long story short. He is now on the run because his father wants to kill him because he come to Christianity and so forth. But things don't add up. I don't know what. I can't put my finger on it. Then he asked to go home to go and get some of his stuff. And I said, hey, but you are on the run. You know, these people are going to kill you. If it's this, he's... No, but he does... You know, okay. So they are away for the day. They didn't come back that night. And they come the next day, I think at night of full service, come back. While I was preaching, they come here. And I think after that, just before we close, and the taxi stopped. So I am out and go and help him. And I saw the blood here, a little bit blood. He can't, I have to help the guy out. And he's in his cabin. I shame him. What happened? Oh, his father drive over with him with his BMW. And wow, okay, so I'll go sit there. Go. Hey. Well, that evening I go back there, check it out. Oh, it's blood here and blood there. We try to call Milton to check up. He's our medic. And you know, we are so concerned about this and that. And okay, the next morning, I'm there at their door early. I want to check up on this couple. Is the guy still alive, you know? And he's sleeping. His wife opened up the door and I said, "Ma'am, I just want to check on your husband," and so forth. And I said, "How is he doing?" "No," she said, "still he's sleeping." I said, "Oh, how's the wound on his head?" "The wound? Yeah, yeah." I don't think they sit like it together and lie together, you know. "Yes, the wound, you know, he showed me last night." "Wound? Oh, there, no, it is." Okay, and suddenly it's something. Me and my one brother go that evening, before the next morning, the same evening, we go to and my brother go before me, and here he sit like with his cell phone. And when I knock, he lie on the bed. My brother saw him, put his phone away, put a blanket over him. My brother tell me before I knock, before we go, this is what happened. Okay, the next morning, go confront him. "Where's this?" "He showed me a wound that has already been closed up for months. There's the scar." Something is cooking here. Lord, something is cooking here. Guys, we deceive ourselves. He swear that God, we're going to stand before God and we're going to give an account. I said, "Yes." And he tell that words to me. He's not a liar. And I said, "Something is not adding up here. Come out with it. I will show you. Swear to God." And he gives me his papers of the clinic. "Show me that your wife is pregnant with a twin." Friends, I read that whole thing through. I can't find anything. I look at the back. There's nothing. He said, "It's there." I said, "Okay, maybe I'm blind because I've got one eye." Yeah. He read the fine print. I said, "No, you know why you can't get it? You can't find it. It's not there. It's not the truth. It's not the truth. Yes, she's pregnant according to this, to one child. The child is well. There's all the evidence. The child is well. But there's no sign of a second one." So when he's trying to hide, they sell the vegetables here. And one of the staff of the radio said, "I want to tell you about this man. He's a con man." Oh, you deceive you so, you deceive you so much so that you believe every lie. You see, if we want to walk in the light and say, "Lord, I want you to help me when I'm tempted. How did I hear? What did I hear? What did I saw? Who said what to me? How did I understand it when someone say that to me? I take it for the truth. Is it really the truth?" And then on the battle of my mind, why don't I take it captive? And like the Bible say, I must take my mind captive in 2 Corinthians 10 from verse 4 to 5. And don't let it run rampant in my mind and became a battlefield, a war of all the nonsense and deception and all those, you know, bombs and arrows that just run rampant there. And I don't take it captive to the obedience of Christ. Because there's a way that God give us a plumb line how to take our thoughts captive. He give us a plumb line. And you find that plumb line in Philippians 4 verse 8 to 9. And it said, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, here is your measurement. Whatever comes in your mind, whatever you hear." Here's it. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if any is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Not just consider them, study them, that they have an influence in your life and change you from the inside. But if I want to be enticed by my own sinful desires, I will not take that plumb line and measure it. And our nature is pruned to wander back to those rubbish and to that pigsty. You know, I said in this month to someone, if there's a lot of rats in this chapel, I have to find the garbage. And if I do find the garbage and I take it away, you will find no rat in this place. And if there's still maybe some of them who hide, now I have to get rid of them. But I will look for more rubbish or garbage. And if I get rid of that, the rats will go where they are. Because they don't come when there's no garbage. The flies won't sit if there's not rubbish. It's because I don't want to take God's plumb line for the Holy Spirit to measure and say, hey, this is skill. This is not biblical. This is not God honoring. This is not pure. This is not holy. Oh, but I like it, you know. This lekker om sonde te doen, is it nie? Now, you don't understand that one. This lekker to do sin. Isn't it? Come on, guys. I was a sinner, and I'm still one, saved by grace. But when I, before I met Christ, I go for it. I go for it because it was lekker. But I'm telling you, it's much more lekker to serve God. To be delivered. To be free from that. I don't have to be a slave anymore to those stuff. Yes, I have a battle against that. And praise God by His grace. For so many years, I keep on walking. And I keep on walking. And I don't want to turn back. And I have to guard my mind. Guard what comes in there. I want to close here because our time is totally out. Proverbs 6 verse 18. A heart that devises wicked schemes. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. Genesis 11 verse 6. The Lord said, If as one people speaking the same language they have began to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them as they built the Tower of Babel. If nothing they plan with their evil schemes, they plan this, then nothing will be impossible. What is going on in our minds? If you can't stop speaking about women, it means you've got a problem in your heart with that. If you keep on talking about your past after you come out of that counseling room for deliverance, you keep on that, there's something wrong in your heart. Check maybe your rebirth. Check it. Check it. I can understand if someone's struggling until we get that breakthrough. But in order for you to be delivered, you have to come to a point where you say, Lord, this, I draw the line in the ground and I walk away and I keep on walking. Yes, I struggle. But some of us bragging about our past and keep on bragging and our past to show who is the alpha dog maybe in that dormitory. No, Paul said, I'm going to get rid of it. And I'm going to walk away. What I'm going to say, I can't get it back. It can't draw me closer to God. It can't build up my faith. No, Lord. I want to stand before you. One step at a time. I'm done with it. I'm finished. Why continue with it? No wonder that some of us can't get delivered because we still cling to it. I trust that God just is with the battle of the mind. I didn't even come to the place where there's the action. The real action now that my mind played out, I'm going to do it now. And then I didn't even talk about the consequences of it. And then a major one, the spiritual impact that it has. Maybe next time. I really trust that you will ask the Spirit of God, help me. Because it is He who will, He's right there to help you. What do you hear? How do you hear? What do you say? That what you say, is it really truthful? What do you see? What's going on in our minds? If you aren't be tempted, it's by your own evil desire. I know Satan is the source, but he didn't force him. He forced you with a gun to your head to do that. Let us pray. We struggle many times, Lord, and I thank you for your Spirit. But many just talk Christianese. Many of us, when we come to the counseling room or before the counselor or in the leaderships in their presence, we are the holy Jews, heilig and veilig, safe and sound. But behind their backs, it looks like that some of us are still rotten to the core. No impact of your words. Twisted the way we want it to say what it doesn't say. And then we want to impress the counselors or the leadership or whosoever. And we deceive ourselves for so long until you say it's over. God, help us please to really rethink these things. Help us to, when we read your word, that we will, like Jesus said to that Pharisee, that lawyer, how did you read? What did you read? How did you read it? How do you understand this? And because of the falsehood of that fortress and stronghold that is already so deep ingrained into my mind, Lord, when the truth comes, actually the lie is busy fighting against it. It resists the truth until something happened, until we kiss the floor. And then sometimes it's too late. And then we talk about something like regret, but it's too late. We can ask David about that, about his regret. Yes, there's forgiveness. Read Psalm 51. But the consequences was so devastated, irreversible. Oh God, help us to learn. Help us to wake up. Help us to be in step with your Spirit. Begin with me. With me, Lord. Help us to, like this morning, we learned something about the 5 points of excellence. To tie it on our hearts, on our forehead. This is God's standard. We don't talk about perfectionism, but striving to please God in every way possible. Knowing we are fragile, we are human, we are dust. Thank you for your ability. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your promise that I am able to keep you from falling. I am able to give you the strength not to give up and not to collapse under the weight of that temptation. But remember, it's not me who tempt you. I can't tempt you. I will not put temptation before you so that you can sin. No, I'm the God of the lights. Verse 17. Every good thing and good gift come from the Father of lights. There's no communion, no fellowship between God and the devil. So Lord, help us to take that. Rethink again and ask myself, if I've been tempted and I flaw, why did I do that? And I will find that unidentified enemy that I don't want to identify. It's myself. If everybody is to blame, what about myself? Lord, be the after speaker of your word, and thank you for the promises. Thank you for your promises that, Lord, when we endure and persevere, we will be rewarded. And as I said the other day, Lord, we will, in our authority with what you give us, that we will grow to that measure, to that extent, then I reign and rule over the things in my own life. And the more I conquer those small jackals and foxes in my life, and I tackle the big ones with the power of the Spirit of God, my authority in you grow. My faith in you grow. And oh God, I thank you that you're waiting for open arms when we flop.